Transform your home in one weekend and get big savings on everything for your project at Menards. Menards carries the largest selection of Purdy painting tools you need to get your painting project started. From brushes, paint, roller covers, and even paint kits. Hurry in and save big money on Purdy painting supplies. Get everything you need for your painting project at Menards. Plus, check out Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to Strange Familiars. How are you tonight, Allison?
I'm fine, thank you.
Trying to get these shows done for April for everybody. We just released a patron show that was mostly Site 7 based. Had some cool sounds in it, including some freaky coyote sounds.
Yeah. I didn't think we were in coyote territory, but apparently we're further.
Well, you saw a coyote when we lived in Glenrock.
I know, and I had no clue that's what I was seeing. I was like, there's a big dog fox in our backyard. You're like, that's a coyote.
So I think we'll be able to get everything done for April. I was worried that with Sarai coming down and Josh is coming next week, that I might not be able to get all the shows done. But we got the patron show out and just one more after this one. So I think we're going to do it. I think we're going to stay on schedule for April. Josh and I will be at the X-Filers United Convention in Rhode Island, April 26th, 27th, and 28th at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Warwick, Rhode Island.
Which is just outside of Providence, right? Isn't everything?
Yeah, it's Rhode Island. So I'm giving a talk on Bigfoot. Josh is giving a talk on Josh stuff, probably the Fae and the paranormal. Josh and I will be giving a talk that's basically a preview of our book that we're doing together. So we're doing a talk together. Our individual talks are Friday, I believe, both Josh and I. I think I'm kicking off the whole thing like 10 a.m. Friday. And then Josh and I together will talk on Saturday. But Mike Clellan's going to be there. He's going to be there on Sunday. The Hellier folks are going to be there. And I'm drawing a blank on their name. Greg and Dana Newkirk. They're going to be there. Colin Schneider, who you've heard on this show before. The crypto kid, but he's heading towards 18, so he needs. I'm not sure I feel comfortable calling him.
I mean, pretty soon he'll be the crypto collegiate.
Exactly. The crypto. That's a good one. So, but Colin will be there. So it's and a whole bunch of other people besides. So they're doing a showing of the Bridgewater Triangle documentary.
If you like the periphery of the show, it should be a fun time.
My talk is scheduled for 2 hours.
Well, good luck on that.
Yeah. I don't know. Josh has suggested that for the second hour of my talk, I just record an episode of the podcast, almost like a roundtable, live.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Which might be a cool thing to do. Mm-hmm. So
the more people that show up, the better, because then you could actually have more people to talk to.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if that happens. I'd like to make that happen. Yeah. The logistics of it are a little...
Yeah, on the fly. Yeah.
Yeah, because I would like to take audience questions and so forth, and I don't know if we could get them all recorded so that it would be audible and everything, but we'll see. We'll see if I can do that. When Josh is here, I will be taking him to Site 7 and maybe around to some other places. Soraya got to go to Site 7 last week. You heard that on the patron show, if you're a patron. That was pretty cool. And we'll see what other adventures we can get into while Josh is here. Excited for that. Tonight, I will be talking with Matt in a little bit. And Matt has a number of experiences with UFOs, and I think he talks about his son seeing like a reptilian kind of creature, hearing strange sounds, and he has this really cool Bigfoot sighting that he saw, kind of Bigfoot in his backyard, that it was crawling, and the description is really creepy. The way he describes this thing is really, really
just that
weird.
Concept is creepy.
Yeah, is it like,
why would it need to be crawling?
Yeah, I was, if it was trying to stay out of sight or what. Very, very interesting. Matt also has an experience of a shooting, like he was shot. He and his friend were both shot, and he believes it kind of ties into like messing around with the Necronomicon. And it's he's even talking about like the Simonomicon, the goofy one that's available in bookstores and stuff. But you know, he believes that's the shooting is tied in with that, and this like kind of dark period in his life. It's pretty neat. It's a pretty neat story.
Kind of like a tale about messing with things that you don't know about.
Yeah, I mean, I think he just believed it was a general darkness, and you know, I don't even think he thought it was like he got demons from the book or something that. It's just like he just kind of,
it was a dark time.
Yeah, it was in this really dark time, and attributes the shooting, you know, as part of that. So before we get to Matt, we have a couple more listener stories that we're going to read. Do you want the long one or the short one?
Doesn't matter. I can read either.
Yeah, Allison hasn't even seen the stories. So I'm just throwing them at her. I guess I'll take the long one. Both of these stories are from someone who just wants to be ID'd as Winter only. Thank you, Winter. Thank you for the stories. And she did send more stories, but we're just going to do a couple tonight. And we'll get to a couple more at some other time. This longer one, it's a little heavy, but it's interesting. In December of 1996, I attempted suicide. I woke up a week later in ICU. I was told I had died, but was brought back. I was a teenager. Doctors didn't explain any of this to me. This account came from a parent. When I was stable, I was sent to a hospital and subsequently ended up primarily in the care of the state I lived in. When you are in state care, the intention is to retain some connection to your birth family, if at all possible. I was sent to my parents' home for visitations, usually overnights or weekends, as time went on. I've always been sensitive to something, energy, spirit, whatever you want to call it. While my bedroom at my parents' house felt different, it felt ominous. Logically, that made sense. I had tried to kill myself there. I had an ambulance haul me off, and I don't know for sure, but I might have temporarily lost life there. Yet this feeling wouldn't shake. I was scared to sleep there. I was fine during the day. Something about sleeping there was not okay. If I slept there, I would have horrible nightmares, feel presence. It was dark and haunting. I solved this issue by sleeping in the living room with our large dog nearby. Even when I had been in the room, he would be there with me, acting concerned and staying close to me. He always behaved as a protector. For a time, I slept fine, just a room away. Then after a time, the dreams and the feelings started in the living room too. Over time, it got much worse. It felt more violent, more oppressive. It became sleep paralysis. At this point, I would sleep with my back against the dog's back in an attempt to feel safe enough to sleep. The fear was visceral and intense. This slowly got worse over the course of months. It became so bad that I decided to refuse to go to my parents' house. I would rather spend the weekend in state care than go to the house where I had freedom, good food, and friends. I asked for help. I asked for advice. No one could make sense of it or explain what was happening to me. After about 2 months of refusal, I was deemed non-compliant because going home for the weekend was in my care plan, and the idea was that it was healthy for me. So I went back because I didn't have a choice and was punished if I didn't comply. When I went back, it was there. It being the feeling. Mm-hmm. That dark feeling, I guess. Now, I had spent months sleeping fine. I had zero issues outside of that house, which at this point, I never wanted to be alone inside of. In the meantime, I had been searching online. Also, a book mysteriously appeared on the shelf at some point in the home I was in. It was about occult practices, and some of what I read there led me to explore the idea of astral psychic vampires, hag attacks, and related concepts. No one outwardly supported me, explained anything to me, or tried to help, but many years later, I was told books were placed on purpose, and behind the scenes the staff were scared for me, and believed me, but could not openly say so. When I slept there again, it came back with a vengeance. It felt angry, possessive, punishing. I remember waking up so scared that I would just vomit and shake. I would lay there with my heart racing, scared to sleep, and yet so exhausted, all the while feeling that energy lingering, waiting for its chance. After a few weeks of this, on my way back to the home, I remember being on the highway and having this sudden thought, "Oh my God, why do I feel like it's following me? Like that ominous creeping was behind me," when it had never been felt outside of that house before. Sure enough, by the end of the week, at the home, I started to have nightmares there as well. Much more mild at first, but increasingly worse. It grew over time in a similar way. It got to the point that the staff would just hand me a cup of Pepto-Bismol before bed because every single night, I would appear crying in the middle of the night, begging for some kind of help. I didn't know it could, but it did get worse. I would be paralyzed, eyes open. The only thing I can control is my breathing or blinking. I would hear it come in, like a train or rushing air. Sometimes I would see glowing that I thought looked like eyes. I often would see a blacker-than-black shadow, no real shape. It had a masculine energy. Sometimes it would growl in my ear, or I would feel a breath on my skin. Sometimes it would feel like I was being raped. If I would get angry and fight it, it would hold me harder. If I would get mad and curse it out in my mind, it would hold me harder or press harder into me like a punishment or a response to my angry words. It happened so often that I could experiment with various reactions. Over time, I learned that fight or not, it's going to take what it wants. It seemed to enjoy the intensity of my anger, so I opted to deny it. I would try to remain passive. In the meantime, the staff started burning sage almost daily. Other girls started having similar dreams, but it always centered on me. It grew stronger. Staff brought me to a witchy shop. The woman who owned the shop looked frightened as I asked for her advice and help. She gave me a crystal to wear, but otherwise wanted nothing to do with it. Thanks, lady. For about a month, the crystal worked. In that time, I kept researching. I got Dion Fortune's Psychic Self-Defense and Constantino's, at the time, new book about psychic vampires. I decided to try a simple meditation and cord cutting. I burned some sage, put on relaxing music, and attempted to meditate for the first time on my own, following a set of instructions I had pulled from the books. It's been a long time, and I'm trying to get my timeline mostly correct, but this part is fuzzy. A few things happened around the same time. One, my jerk boyfriend asked to look at my crystal and broke it. Two, I started actively learning how to cast a circle, cut etheric cords, and meditate in an effort to stop this thing. Three is that I can now feel its presence if I even so much as tried to speak about it, even during the day, even at school, even around other people, and still no one openly supported me. My friends were concerned, but I was considered the one who knew things about things, not them. So there was a sense of urgency, because whatever it was much stronger now, and I was not the only one experiencing attacks in the house. So I'm sitting on the floor, all relaxed, feeling basically safe, and decided to take a first run through. I barely even began, and I took a few deep breaths and intended to start, and I immediately felt what felt like a really hard knock the wind out of me punch in the solar plexus that was hard enough to knock me into my back. This scared me so much, I cannot even explain how this felt. Suddenly, nothing felt safe. Daytime outside of sleep, it might follow me around or listen into my life, but it couldn't hurt me. Suddenly, things are different. In the home, other people also started to experience an escalation. Rumors spread about how I was the center of this. I don't know what was said or decided, but my room was randomly searched. I was targeted, but it's funny to me how, because they really had no idea what they were doing or how to make sense of things, people were scared of me. So I lived with it, and I didn't take any steps because it wasn't safe for a while. No one attempted to help the actual problem in the meantime. I learned to cast a circle. I was determined, angry, and scared. Eventually, I was able to cast a circle and do the cord cutting. Things improved quickly. I was still scared, but I had the power, and I knew how to use it now. I had to repeat the procedure a few times, but it basically ended, and it didn't come back after I did the ritual a few times. It's been years, and yeah, weird things happen, but nothing like that again. No sleep paralysis. You couldn't pay me to go back to that house, though.
Now, maybe I wasn't paying attention, but does it say that she felt this before she had the
suicide attempt? It doesn't say. I get the impression that she didn't. I get the impression it was like after the suicide attempt, she comes back and she feels this.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, that's some pretty intense.
I think you better put a warning before that.
You know, I want to ask a million follow-up questions, and I certainly asked her if she wanted to come on and tell the story. She said she'd rather have us just read it, which is fine, you know.
Yeah.
I'm glad she shared the story either way. But the most interesting thing to me is that it did go away, and it hasn't come back.
I'd be interested to see, too, and this is not to be taken as any sort of disbelief of the experience, but how this followed her path to mental health after the attempt.
You mean did her mental health, general mental health, also improve?
Yeah, I mean, is this sort of a physical manifestation of the specter of
right, of which doesn't illness. Make it any less real?
Oh, no,
it's kind of like what we were saying with Soraya on his show. It doesn't make it any less real at all. It just, you know, maybe there's
maybe she willed into being what was already happening in her mind.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, maybe ritual is an effective way to deal with that, you know?
Yeah, like, I mean, I'll really take command over the situation and just say, I will not be taken by the specter of darkness.
Yeah, whether it's outside of me
or a part of me.
Or somehow both, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really good symbolism for, you know, even if that's all it is, just symbolism for your ability to, when you take command over your life, what changes you can...
I think Freud would be appalled at the idea, but I think Jung would be very much behind the idea of doing a ritual to heal yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, psychologically, I think. I think he would probably say there is a hazy line between all that as well, you know?
I think he experienced it himself.
Oh, yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm trying to think of the way to phrase this. However many steps we've taken in the paranormal and in researching this stuff, the fact that I'm looking back towards Jung so often and going, there's a lot there.
Yeah.
And he was writing about this stuff.
At this point, almost 100 years ago.
Yeah, right. So, well before I was born. It's very, very interesting to me. That's all. It's just really, really, really interesting. I guess the more things change, the more they stay the same, you know.
Concepts are there.
Mm-hmm. So here's a shorter one.
This is by the same listener.
She sent me the one, and, you know, it's very personal story she sent, that last one.
Yeah.
You know, and it's difficult to ask follow-up questions, I think, sometimes. It would be, I think, in person, where you could read someone, it would be a little bit easier to ask follow-up questions, but it's hard to kind of sort out. So I thought, well, you know, she sent the story, I'll read it as is. But she said, do you want a couple more sources? Said, yeah, absolutely. Send in what you got. So, like I said, she sent a few more, like I think four total. We'll read these two tonight. And so this is also from Winter.
In 2004, I lived in Dover, New Hampshire, in an apartment on Locust Street. It was an old house. The house was creepy. My boyfriend at the time claimed he'd heard a woman's voice talk when he was in the shower one night. I had never seen him so pale. The place didn't feel to me like there was something there with intent to communicate. It just felt odd. There were constant noises, things moving around, but certainly nothing that ever felt ominous or dark. My boyfriend didn't agree. I've always had sleep time weirdness. At the time, I felt like I was just the type of person that might be open to whatever when I'm sleeping. We had a mattress in the floor. Box springs didn't fit up the old stairs. I'm laying on my side facing a wall with a closet door. I think I'm sleeping. I have this sensation entering what I think is a dream, like slowly putting your face into a pool of water. I blink and the wall is a different color in my room. I see a rocking chair in the corner. This isn't my furniture. The rug's different, too. It's like some old shag rug, orangey in color. So now I'm feeling awake and aware, and this is not my room, but it is my room. Everything is different, and as I turn back towards the closet, I see a woman standing there, and she looks toward me, and she suddenly looks shocked and screams at me. It startled me, and I gasped awake in my own room. I remember thinking, oh my God, was I a ghost to her? This felt so real, I can't even explain how bizarre it was. I talked to everyone about it for the next week. The thing I still clearly remember this woman's face, hair, and makeup. She looked really early to mid-80s. Permed hair, blue eyeshadow, high-waisted stone-washed jeans. Absolutely never had a good explanation for this, but it did make me giggle. I mean, it's like she screamed. I gasped in response, and suddenly everything was normal again. I just imagined this woman decades ago thinking her place is haunted by a random face on the floor. What on earth? I made a terrible ghost. At this same apartment, I started to believe in angels, but I haven't heard you discuss them in your podcast yet, so I'll leave them off. One story tends to roll into another. But you know what I thought immediately struck me is that my bedroom at home as a kid was all orange with almost like a shaggy kind of orange carpet with a rocking chair in the corner. I was like, oh God, it was my room.
What I really like about this story is the idea of that she was a ghost for this person in the past.
Yeah.
And then maybe that person in the past was a ghost for them.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what her boyfriend was here. John Tenney had a story on his podcast that was, and I forget exactly how it went, but basically it was this house that had these kids in it. And they kept seeing this old woman talking about this ghost to this old woman they'd see. And somehow, I don't know whether he had investigated it two different times or what, somehow it came out that there was an old woman and she used to see a ghost of children in the house. So it was like this kind of like loop that to me is really, really interesting that people, you know, people end up like, you're someone else's ghost, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and why wouldn't you be? I mean, the idea of these like self-aware ghosts who are just going around opening kitchen cabinets and flipping on lights and stuff seems ridiculous. I think they're just going about their business and they happen to intersect.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. And if time is not the way we think it is, and it probably isn't, you know,
it's all happening at the same time.
Yeah, it's and sometimes you get these places where, for whatever reason, you can see through, you know. However it works, you know, I don't know the mechanics of how it works, but it's that to me, I absolutely love that story for that reason. Uh-huh. Just that idea that, and it's not like she's this is old woman from Victorian times. She looked like she was from the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wonderful detail, you know, because most people are like, oh, they were dressed like a Victorian or the nondescript white slip dress that you get with a lot of the which I'm not saying that doesn't make these things real.
Yeah. You have a whole chapter on women in white.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's often what you get, you know.
I think sometimes we fill in with what's supposed to be there when we can't remember what's there.
That's quite possible too. Yeah, and we've had the discussion too that putting two different people in the same situation, you know, maybe I see a Bigfoot and somebody else sees a ghost, and a third person, not when we're together, but you know, separately, and the third person sees, you know, a gray alien or whatever the case may be, and then when people are together, maybe the in some way their subconscious locks together and agrees.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they're going to see, and it manifests that way. But who knows? But no, I just love that story.
Makes more sense that ghosts that are going to scare you would be in stonewashed jeans. Most of the ghosts of my adolescence were in stonewashed jeans.
So before we get to our discussion with Matt, I would like to thank the patrons.
That'd be a nice thing to do.
Strange Familiars is brought to you by our patrons. Without you guys, we could not do the show. Thank you so much for your help. For just $3 a month, you can get extra shows. We do full extra shows for patrons. We guarantee at least one a month, which we've done since the very first month of the show.
So at this point, there are a lot of extra episodes if you've run out of the regular episodes to listen to.
Yes, we're in our third year now, so there are definitely a lot of patron episodes if you sign up, and we're doing more all the time. Most of the months recently, we've done more than one. April's a busy month, we're probably just doing one. But you're guaranteed that one episode, and it is a full episode.
And most of the time, we have been trying to save something really good that, you know, isn't just like something that's a disposable throwaway extra from something else.
Yeah, so if you want more Strange Familiars and you want to help us continue to make the show, consider becoming a patron, patreon.com/strangefamiliars. There are different levels of support there. If you want to get t-shirts or stickers, pins, copies of my books, all kinds of stuff like that, you can look there and get different items for supporting the show. But even just the $3 a month gets you the extra shows. If you don't like the idea of a subscription, if you still want to help out and you can afford to donate a little money, you can look in our show notes at strangefamiliars.com. There's a paypal.me link, and you can follow that and make a one-time donation via PayPal. You can also help the show by leaving us a nice 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever that is, and by sharing the show on social media. So now let's talk with Matt. He's got a lot of really interesting experiences. Definitely my favorite's this Bigfoot thing he talks about. It's just so creepy, the way he describes it.
I know, I immediately get a mental image of it, and I do not like it.
It's really, really interesting. So check Matt out. He also describes some other stuff, like some beeping noises and stuff that sounds a lot like
things you've talked about.
Some things I've talked about, which he apparently hadn't heard before, because he was pretty wild when I was like, oh yeah, I've heard that sound, and told him about it. And we'll go to that right now.
What do you actually think this is? You know, like I think, like, you know, like what happened is, like, we compartmentalize everything, right? And I don't think it's like that. I think the whole thing is connected. I think Bigfoot, I think the UFO, I think ghost. I think it's all connected, and I think it's like, I don't know, it's very strange, you know, and it's always been in my, it's just always like been around us, you know, like I just.
Yeah, you know, I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. You know, my buddy Josh, who I'm writing my next book with, kind of has been saying it's like it's all one big ghost story in a way.
Yeah.
And it, you know, there might be something to that. If you read these old, you know, I'm a big folklore guy. If you read these old accounts, they're talking about the same stuff. They're describing the same stuff back then that we're seeing now. We just have a different vocabulary now, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
Before they would call it a fairy. They call, you know, anything weird a fairy. Nowadays, we, you know, we have these individual names. And
right.
We separate them into these little things. And it's,
yeah.
It's like I always say that. If you talk to somebody who's had a Bigfoot sighting, for example, well, most of them are either maybe a hunter in the woods sees one walk by, or somebody's driving in a car and someone crosses the road. And those are the people that are tell you 100% it's an animal. But if you start talking to people who have multiple encounters, like, for instance, the Bigfoot creatures are coming on their property over and over again and stuff.
Yeah.
It gets weird. Stuff starts getting weird. And then they'll start talking about poltergeist activity in their house and weird lights. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
And what I've like actually like researched and found out that certain individuals will see more and it'll keep on happening to them. Almost like this phenomena is taking notice of that individual and they like to like fuck with them, you know,
mm-hmm.
or whatever it is.
You know, in the Bigfoot world, they say once you see them, like researchers will say this. Even guys who believe it's a gorilla, they'll say like, well, once you see them, then you know you'll know how to see them again. And it's like, really? Like, is that what's going on there, or is it something else going on there?
Right. I don't think it's just flesh and bone. You know, I think it's something else.
Yeah, I just can't wrap my head around that anymore. People get angry at me for saying it. People in the Bigfoot world, but I just. There's nothing in the fossil record, and, you know, we're going to need to produce a body if it's, and I just don't see where they live.
I don't see
where they're coming from and where they're going. It's just not real apparent.
Absolutely. You know, like my take on it, and I don't know, like all the things that I've seen, it's almost like it's interdimensional, you know? It's almost like it just phases in and then it phases out, you know? Like, it's just so bizarre, man.
I mean, there's something deep, deep, deep in us that needs this kind of wild man. And I'm getting very, like, Jungian here. But, I mean, it's...
No, you are right.
It's in every culture. It's in every culture.
Yep.
They have this wild man. And, you know, I just... You know, there aren't
monkeys everywhere
in the world, you know?
Yeah. It's almost like this stuff makes us feel even more human, in a way.
Yeah.
I don't know if you feel that way, but...
No, absolutely. And then there's, you know, there's people who say that this is like something, like the universe or whatever, trying to find a way mm-hmm. to communicate with us through these different things. Why it so often needs a fear response is would be my big question. You know, if that's the case,
right?
Is that
right? Why is there a flight or fight?
Mm-hmm. Is that the, you know, maybe one of the easiest responses to elicit? You know,
yeah.
I don't actually know, but yeah, there's something really, really deep in us that seems to either it's been there the whole time alongside us. You know, and we've just always lived with it, and it's so it's become this deep part of
right.
us, or we've needed this sort of wild man alongside us all the time,
sure,
or some combination yep. thereof. I don't know.
I just want to say I love your music. I think it's great.
Oh, thanks so much. Thank you.
Yeah, what I find interesting also, we can actually go on to my what I saw or whatever, but I just want to I know that you're into, like, a lot of lore, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And which is awesome. I'm into that also. What I found, like, really cool is if you think of, like, you know, like the elves or the fairies, like, if you go back and read some stories about them, they came down in, like, some kind of ship or, like, a cloud or whatever. I don't know if you ever read that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if I've run into that particular one, but... I mean, it's almost
like the same thing as aliens.
Exactly. It rings true. You know what I mean? It's the kind of thing where I might have come across it and it just was like, oh, yeah, of course.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, I don't know if I ran across that specific bit of folklore or not, but yeah, it's not surprising in the least when you tell me that. It's like, yeah, of course. Yeah. Like I said, I think we're just using a different vocabulary for the same old things.
Absolutely.
Well, Matt, you had something you said when you were about 16 this happened?
Yeah, I was 16 years old, and I was, I've always, like, been into the occult, you know, or, you know, like, just esoteric and, you know, like just reading books or whatever, you know, like, you know, whatever. And I came across this book, which is really weird because this book is supposed to be fiction. Which was the Necronomicon that was H.P. Lovecraft.
Mm-hmm. Was this the Simon version? Did it have the sort of symbol in the front?
Yes, it did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was with the, I think he was called like the Mad Arab or whatever like that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, and I will talk a little bit about that in a bit. Go ahead.
Yeah, and... you know, like, I was, like, fooling around with that. You know, like, I was just reading it, and, you know, like, I wasn't doing anything. You know, like, I wasn't, like, trying to, like, you know, do spells or whatever like that, you know. I was just, you know, like, into that kind of stuff. And, you know, like, I remember I'm in my room, and just something just felt very strange, like I wasn't alone. And then the next day... I was with my friend and we were just, you know, messing around with it or whatever like that. And we were just like joking around and read this like passage on it. And then later on, as I like figured out, or when I went back on it, like it specifies that you need to have a guardian if you're going to try and open up whatever. Just, you know, like weird and like bizarre. And, you know, like we read that. And, you know, like we were going out that night and we were just hanging out. And as soon as we walked out of his house, we went maybe three blocks. This cop stops us, not just one cop, but like five cops. And they start searching us and telling us that we just robbed a house, which we did not. And just like one negative thing after another kept happening. So the next morning we go to work. I was 16 years old. I was working with my buddy and we usually walked home after that. And you can actually look this all up. Like we literally got robbed and shot. We're walking home and there's this overpass that was over the expressway. And it was a little bit secluded or whatever like that. And you know, like we're walking down there and we see two guys coming towards us. Just like everything that led up to this, like I feel, and maybe I'm just, I don't know. Like I've always had like weird things. I've always like seen stuff, and I'm not like telling you that I'm like special or anything. Like that's like the farthest thing from my like mind. Like I'm not some ego or whatever, you know. And we're walking down this like bridge, and it's over the overpass, and these two guys come up to us, and they like pull out a gun, and I'm like, oh, here we go. And he gets my like buddy on the ground. There's actually two of them, and there's like this big struggle. And it was just so surreal. Like everything just like time just stops when you're in a situation like this. And it just feels like it goes on forever. And, you know, like, so, and all of a sudden I hear the gun go off and he shoots my like buddy in the hip.
Whoa.
So now I watch my like buddy get shot here. And then I turn around and I'm looking at this guy and he's pointing the gun right at me. And I know I'm going to get shot. And I'm just like begging. I'm like, you know, and then it just happened. And I got shot and it was in the leg. And I instantly put my hand on it. And when I lifted it up, like blood was just squirting out. It was just like pumping out. I mean, it was just like so much. So like we were stuck up there and we had to get down onto the expressway. We had to actually hang over the overpass and fall like halfway down into the grassy area that's on like a slant. I don't know if you've ever seen any of those before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we had to fall down there. And this whole time, like, I just like feel like there's like this like really dark presence just around us, all around us the whole time, ever since the night before. More. And I couldn't shake it. And it was just like so weird. And we got down. We had to like fall down. And we're like literally in the middle of the expressway. And cars are just whizzing by us. No one would stop for like 5 minutes. And I'm losing blood. He's completely white. And finally somebody stopped. And that's it, you know? But like, I truly believe that if you're, you know, like if messing around with stuff that's, you know, like it can be like potentially dangerous. And even though if it is fiction, if you put enough energy into it or, you know, like whatever this phenomena is, I think it'll utilize whatever it is that you're like trying to like mess with and just, you know, like make you like try and go completely nuts and insane. After I healed, I was in the hospital actually for like 5 months. It was a hollow point, and when it went in, it exploded. Wow. And I still, to this day, have 65 pieces, like, riddled in my entire leg. Jeez. So I get home, and then it's like this warfare going on. I cannot explain, like, what happened, you know? Like, it was just completely chaos. Like, I just felt like everything was, like, watching me, completely paranoid. And it took me a great while to get out of that. And, you know, like I started, like, you know, meditating and finding God, you know, basically. And I got myself out of that. But I truly believe that whatever it was, like if you're like playing with stuff or whatever, if it's dark, you know, like it'll attach to whatever that you're like playing with. And that's what happened. It's a very bizarre story.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
So, just to note that I had seen the Necronomicon, or the Simon Nomicon, as people like to call it, advertised in a magazine. It was in those heavy metal comics when I was little. I was probably too young to be reading them, but I was.
Right.
And at the time, you had to order it, like a leather-bound volume, I think, when it first came out. And then they published a paperback. I saw it. I was probably 12 or something. I was young when I saw it and bought it in the bookstore. And I realized, like, oh, wait, this is supposed to be real as you're reading it. And that book fully freaked me out as a 12-year-old. I remember just reading through it and trying to figure out, wait a minute, this is for real? I mean, they were claiming it was for real. But like you said,
right.
I don't think when you put the power into it of thought, perhaps even a young mind, too, might be more open to the idea of, like, wait, this is real, or this could be real. You have less of that that kind of doubt you get as an adult, maybe, or that sort of thinking where you go, well, it's published by Simon, like, really? Like, but
it's not that I thought it was real. It's, just like what you're just like said, putting that thought into it, and whatever these things are, whatever that's out there, this, whatever you want to call it, it will attach to whatever. If it sees that, whatever it is, if it sees you, and if you kind of have a feeling towards them, it'll take notice.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever the instrument is, that's how it'll... Am I, like, making any sense on that? Or?
Yeah, I think so. Just to take a step back, was your friend okay?
Yes, he was okay. He was in and out of the hospital. He was actually out of the hospital the next day. And what's really strange is, I'm the one that read it. I'm the one that read the like passage.
Mm-hmm.
And I was literally in the hospital for I think it was 5 or 6 months.
Mm.
Total leg was destroyed.
Did they ever catch the guys?
Never caught those guys.
What'd you do with the book then?
The book?
Yeah.
What I did with the book was I drove it out, way out. We actually had these like ponds where I used to live in New York called Mendon Ponds. And it's just like a beautiful area. And I literally chucked that book in the middle of the pond.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I'm not saying that book is evil. You know what I mean? But I think it's like...
I'm not either.
I think it's like you're saying, like, if you put that into it, you know what I mean? And something else was able to, like you said, kind of use that. I mean...
Yeah.
And of course, maybe just a bunch of bad luck happened. You know what I mean? But...
Yeah, I mean, it could be a bunch of like bad luck, but it's...
I know that it's like an oppressive feeling. It really is. It's like, what?
It really is.
Yeah. And you're kind of like, what's going on? Almost what's coming next too, which is, possibly even worse.
Absolutely.
Wow. So
anxiety was just, just insane. And it's almost like, it's almost Timothy, like, something is feeding off of your anxiety or your fears,
Mm-hmm.
I researched this, ever since that happened. Like, I just, have just delved into this and, trying to figure out some kind of, explanation of the whole thing, The things that I've seen, like multiple UFOs with my son, just weird and bizarre things. He had like a reptilian sighting, which scared the crap out of him, which I just recently just, I was actually talking to him today, and he was actually telling me, you know, Dad, a couple years like back, like we're walking and we see this red glowing light that's in the sky. And we're like, yeah, whatever. And it just wouldn't go away. And then he said moments later, something was rustling in the woods as we were walking up to my, his buddy's house. And they looked and they saw this scaly reptile face looking thing on all fours looking at them. And they ran and they booked and they just ran, you know, just very bizarre stuff.
And that was directly after seeing the light in the sky.
That was directly after seeing that light. Yeah. And I used to have a house on Lake Ontario. We were having a family barbecue out and him and I were just throwing the football or whatever. And he goes, Dad, look. And we look towards the lake and we see this, the most bizarre, biggest structure craft in the sky. It was completely domed underneath, but it looked like it had a city on top of it, like a city.
Wow.
And it was just hanging there. And we were like looking at this thing for like 5 seconds. And then, you know, my ex-wife, and she looks at it, and then we like run around the edge, you know, to get a better, you know, glance at the thing, and it's gone. You know, like just very strange things, man.
So you mentioned that you had a, was it a possible Sasquatch encounter, or was it a, did you get lay eyes on something?
Yeah, it was a possible Sasquatch. We're right now, I live in Florida. And my wife and I were in our back here. We have this nice little nigh or whatever. And we're sitting out here. And I was facing her. And she has her like back towards the screened-in like porch. And all of a sudden, man, I see... Man, it's so hard to... I see this thing... crawling, it was like 8 feet long, crawling at the against of the lanai. It was almost like phasing in and out. And I know I use that word a lot, and because that's just how I can like explain it. And this thing, first I saw its head, I couldn't make out features or anything, and then I saw this thing just gliding almost just supernatural, like moving against the lanai. And then I got up. I freaked out. Like, I stood straight up and I screamed at the top of my lungs. I scared the crap out of my wife. And I yelled and I was like, get out of here! Get out of here! Get out! What the hell are you? And as soon as I said that, it slithered back the way it came, and I went up against the lanai, and I could see this outline of this creature, this face, but I couldn't make out anything. It was like the most bizarre thing ever, and it just faded into the darkness. That was like probably the creepiest thing I've ever seen in my entire life, and I've seen a lot. I mean, I'm just accustomed to this crap, you know?
Was this nighttime or during the day?
This was nighttime, yeah. Yeah, this was about 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, did it ever seem to stand up? Like, was it doing that?
It
like...
never stood up. It almost looked like it was on all fours, but it moved in not like a sound. And it moved like in a flowing manner. Like, it was almost just gliding off of the ground. Wow. But I could see that it was on the ground, man. And, like, the stealth on this thing... I honestly think that it thought like I couldn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And what I would say like by like phasing out is like, you know, like it was like almost distorted. there was like a distortion to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like, I mean, I've not seen that, but I've heard people describe that, you know.
Have you really?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I've heard people describe it, you know, they'll call it like the Predator thing or and they'll say that they saw Bigfoot doing it. Like they'll see it 1 second and then they just say it kind of does this like Predator thing where it sort of blends into the background.
Yeah, it was absolutely I was scared.
I've heard people describe them crawling on all fours before. They always say they move really weird. They say they move like I've heard people describe them moving like spiders, or
yes,
like something,
or even a snake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because that's what I thought that how it was like moving. It was like moving like a snake.
Wow.
You know, it was like, oh my God, dude. Like, man, I completely terrified.
And so
I was so scared
when you yelled
and
at
I hate
it,
to say that because I'm like this big, you know, I'm like this big bearded man, you know, but I was like freaking terrified, man.
No,
I screamed at it.
I know the fear. I know that. And I didn't even see anything. And whatever happened to me, my legs were locked. I wanted to run so bad and I couldn't run.
Yeah.
I was completely frozen in place, and I'm kind of happy I didn't see anything because I don't think I was ready for it at that point. I don't know if I ever will be, but you know, I thought I was going to get an up close and personal that day. I smelled the bad smell and everything, and I was just
did you really?
Oh yeah!
Oh my
yeah.
God, that's awesome! That is so awesome!
It was terrifying for you know those few moments. You know, it could have been a minute, yeah. could have been 2 minutes. I don't know what, however long it was where that smell lasted. I was terrified, absolutely terrified.
What I find really intriguing about your story is the like metal clicking or like the gears clicking.
Yeah, and I almost didn't tell people that.
Because
it just sounds so weird, right? So I was like, well, maybe. But
it sounds weird, but I think like we're on the right like path here. I don't know if you ever read The Skinwalker or The Hunt for the Skinwalker.
I haven't read the book, but I'm very familiar with the story, you know, with the, all the events.
Like, they would constantly hear, like, equipment or gears
mm-hmm.
constantly, you know, like some kind of heavy machinery or, you know, like computer sounds, like just like weird and bizarre things, like right before or right after something happened.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's so funny that you're saying that. You know, that's actually pretty wild.
Al Berry was one of the guys with Ron Moorhead up at the Sierra Camp, and he wrote a book in 1976. And
yeah,
he tells a lot of stuff that Ron's talking about the weird stuff now, but he didn't for a long time. But Al Berry
just wrote Quantum Bigfoot or something like that, right?
Yeah. Al Berry was talking about it from the beginning, and in this book in 1976, he talks about those machinery sounds in the ground. And yeah, I just read that recently. You know, so it's definitely a thing. And then I was in the woods yesterday, and I heard a car door slam right beside me on a hill right beside me. And that's a thing too.
You're kidding me.
That's a thing.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, hearing car doors slam like when they're you know way out in the middle of nowhere. I was I didn't even put it. I was looking around for a four wheel drive or something. I thought like, does somebody like drive in here?
Right.
Like, there's no way. I mean, it's the side of a big rocky hill. There's a creek on the other side of me. It just couldn't, you know, it couldn't be. So that was just weird. But So when I almost like when I started telling the story, I almost not that I would lie, but I was like maybe I didn't hear that gear sound. But then I just thought, well, I'll just tell it. You know, this is what I heard. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
And then later on, I started reading these other things, you know, about people hearing these machinery sounds and these weird, you know, sounds associated with this stuff. And I was like, I guess it fits.
I remember one time I was sleeping and I got woken up and it was like the loudest computer sound. Like it was like a whole bunch of like beeps that just went off. But it was like, it was almost like, you know, like a beep, boop, boop,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was so loud and I woke up and it just felt so like artificial, like it wasn't, you know what I mean? Like it was something on a computer or whatever like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know if you've ever... I forget what I've talked about on the regular episodes and what I talked about on the Patreon episodes. For a while, I was having what I thought were abduction experiences. I mean, I believe they were. I never left my bed, which is a very difficult thing to explain to people. I wasn't on a spaceship and all this stuff.
Wait. You're out of body.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But I started getting concerned about this, and I left a sound-activated tape recorder under my bed. This is when I got out of college. I moved back to my parents' farm for a little bit.
Oh, my goodness.
And
this is already getting creepy.
So, you know, sound-activated, I just threw under my bed because I was getting curious about it, and I let it go for probably about a week, 5 days or a week or something like that. And I'm listening back to it. And what I heard was a series of weird beeps, like you're describing. It sounded almost like 8-bit, like an old Atari game or something. Almost.
Yeah.
Like almost.
Are you kidding me?
Cartoon. No, no. It was weird beeps and then me saying no. Very, very desperately saying no a lot. And it freaked me out so much. I took the tape out of the recorder, threw it away, and never did that again. At this point, I'd love to have that tape, but I just wasn't ready for it at the time. I just could not deal with it. I just had to get it away from me because it was too freaky.
Absolutely.
But that's what it sounded like. It sounded like an Atari game or something, like boop, 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 boop.
Like an 8-bit. Yeah. Yes, that's exactly what woke me up. That's exactly what woke me up. That is so bizarre.
Yeah.
There's got to be something to that with this like phenomenon. There's got to be something to it.
Well,
I think maybe that's like the stuff, like that's like before everything happens or after it happens or, but you know, like wrapping your mind and trying to figure it out is like, it's just, I don't know.
There's something about it, you know, with sound. Like you said, there's always these sounds that seem to precede events. Not always, but often. There's often these sounds that precede these events and follow them. And
maybe we're just not in the right frequency.
Yeah, it could be. It really could be.
Like, I've often, like, thought that, like, you know, like, everything has a frequency, you know? And, mm-hmm. you know, like, maybe we just can't get into that frequency where we can have, like, a visual. Sometimes we can. Sometimes we have, like, visuals. Obviously, people are seeing stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it comes and goes, you know?
Fred Beck was one of the guys who was at, are you familiar with the Ape Canyon incident from the 1920s? The miners up in Washington State?
Yeah.
That's most often reported as the very basic kind of, a guy shoots a Bigfoot, the Bigfoot come back to the cabin and attack the cabin at night. But
right.
Fred Beck was one of the miners, and he wrote about it after the fact, and a lot of weird stuff was going on there. They were seeing apparitions and hearing the sounds of machinery in the ground and stuff. And I mean, he's writing this several years after the fact, but he's relaying the story.
Yeah.
But he said, and I really like this idea, he said, you know, in regards to these creatures, he said, you're not going to catch them because they're not like, it's not like a monkey in the woods. And he said, they manifest. And he said, I think they need us, like us being humans, somehow there, they need our energy to manifest and become physical. He said, not always, but often. And I thought that was a really, really, really interesting idea because he's writing about this, you know, I think it's in the 60s. So sometime after the event happened, he wrote the book with his son, but still really kind of forward thinking, I thought, for the time.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes complete sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, it really does. I think that also. I think that they need us like just as much as we need them.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is. I honestly feel like it's almost like a feeding role.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say that, man, because it freaks me the hell out. You know, like, why do you have all these ancient texts, you know, with Jesus and like Buddha and, you know, like Shiva that, you know, tell you to calm your mind. You have all these texts, like what are you calming it for? You know, like you don't want to, it's almost like they're like trying to tell us, listen, there's things out there that are going to feed off you if you're a maniac, if you're like a horrible person, it's almost like the realm of like demons, almost, you know? And I hate to say that because I don't want to be like angels and demons and all that, but it's almost like in that realm, you know, like it's almost like this feeding frenzy. And you look at what's happening around the world and it's just total chaos. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but there's more sightings and more people coming out with weirder than there has been in a very long time.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a feeding frenzy. It's almost like sharks.
The cryptids are kind of weirder too. There's always going to be that wild man, like I was saying, that's always going to be there, I think. But we get like my latest book. I've got these you know, winged Mothman things. Somebody described a dog man, but they said it looked like a hyena. It didn't look like a wolf. You know,
yeah.
a toad man, you know, and it's just like all
just
this
bizarre.
weird stuff. Yeah, I did find some, you know, I can find some old reports of some of that weird stuff, but it does seem like we get more now. Although it, you know, maybe it's just that we have the internet and we can communicate this stuff easier. I'm not sure, but
sure.
It certainly feels like what you're saying is true. Like there's just more weird stuff happening, than before. To step back to that Bigfoot sighting, did it sort of backed up into the brush or something when you yelled at it?
Well, I have my lanai is completely open and it's on the side of the house, and as it crept back, like it just crept back the same way it came, which was on the side of the house.
Mm.
And like I've never seen anything move like that in my entire life. You know, like it was freaking mystical. It was freaking absolutely beautiful. You know, like now that I think about it, you know, I mean, it's scary as all hell, but it's like, wow, that's like pretty wild, man. You know,
Like effortless.
Like effortless, like defying all laws of gravity or just all laws of just physics, you know, like just completely something that's just abnormal and just strange, high strangeness, you know?
right.
You know, man?
Did you get a look at its face or its eyes at all?
I got like an outline of his face, and what I saw was like, it looked like a bunch of stars that were just swirling like together.
Wow.
It was just insane. Like his whole face was just swirling almost.
Wow. That's wild.
Like,
it
was crazy, man.
I don't know if you heard, it was this week's show, but by the time I get this edited, it won't be this week's show anymore. But when Mo described that Bigfoot he saw, I don't know if you heard it, but he said it looked like his face was imploding. That's the way he described it.
No, I never heard that one. What episode is that, bro?
It just dropped today or yesterday. It's called a Halloween Flannel Man and a Impossibly Black Bigfoot, I think is the title. So it's episode 75.
I can't wait to listen to that one.
Yeah, he said like the face, and he kept saying there, like I don't know, there just wasn't a face. I looked at the face and it looked like it was imploding. Just he said,
that's insane.
Yeah.
I'm getting goosebumps right now.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I'm gonna listen to that after we talk to
him. Oh, and you can tell so my wife's not a big believer in all this stuff, but you know, she was listening to my interview with him and she's just like, I don't know what he saw, but he saw something. She's like, I can't, he saw something. But there's been a couple times where she's been really affected. A guy came up to us at a paranormal festival and started describing encounters with these little hairy things, these little albatwitches. And she was like, my wife was like, she looked at me and she's like, he really saw something. You know, you could tell she was just kind of like taken aback because she's such a skeptic, and I'm happy for it. Like, it's good to have a skeptic around, you know? I don't mind that.
Yeah, absolutely. My wife's like that too. She's complete skeptic about everything on this whole thing.
Yeah. And I think that's good. I think it's good to have, because you can get, you know, somebody can check you.
I need that balance, man. I need that balance because, you know, like if I don't have her and I don't have that like balance, I'll just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper, and I will get lost in this whole thing, you know. And I have to like find myself like pulling myself back, and she usually does that for me also, you know. But like, You know, like there's times, man, where I just read, and I'm just like so obsessed with this, you know, like it's just, I don't know, like it's crazy. Like
no,
I get so obsessed with this.
I absolutely can get the same way. And usually when I start getting that feeling, I know it's like, you know what, now it's time to read some fiction,
yeah.
Take a step back, watch a movie and read some fiction. You can always go back to it again, you know?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I'm actually getting to that point again where I need to just step back. You know, like I was actually telling my wife after this interview, like, I'm just going to stop, man, you know, for a while, because there is, you know, like weird things happening again. And, you know, like I don't want that around my family, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, that's what I have wondered, like, so I kind of put all this away for a long time. And then I started writing books and stuff again. It wasn't a conscious decision, but my kids are older now. They're 15 uh-huh. now. And I wonder if it was just like even subconsciously, I was like, okay, they're a bit older. I can start getting back into this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry so much. Or if it just worked out that way. I don't know. But I definitely, you know, whether consciously or not, I stayed away from it for a while when they were real little.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where I'm at right now. Like after this, I'm like putting away all of the books and I'm done.
Well, like I said, it's good to take a break because I can get the same way where you just almost become obsessive about it. And then you just need to like take a deep breath and it's time to appreciate some other stuff in life. Luckily I have other interests that I think still work for this kind of stuff. I'm interested in hermits and things like that are sort of, you know, they're not directly connected, but it's still stuff I can do for the show. And my wife's very interested in circus people and so forth. So there's, you know, when things get intense, we can still keep doing the show. just kind of take a turn for a minute and then get back to it. But
let me ask you a question.
Sure.
What do you think of DMT?
I've never...
Do you think that that's... I haven't... Do you think that that's a way to actually, you know, like ayahuasca...
I think psychedelics in general are a legitimate way to experience this stuff.
I do too. I do too.
I don't know if they're
boggling stuff.
It's kind of like doing magic without like protecting yourself and just going willy nilly into it. I think in the same way,
right?
You kind of have to don't be willy nilly about it. I'm very like, you know, I have like some younger friends and they're like, you know, hey man, you know, we got some mushrooms, let's party. I'm like, nope. It's not a party. It's not a party drug. I take it very seriously.
Wow.
And
you're like the only other person I think that's ever said that except me. It is like a total sacred thing and you don't do it all the time.
No, you know? No, I rarely ever. I mean, it's just not because
exactly,
especially as I'm older, like now it's, I don't like with LSD, I don't want to spend 12 hours out of my mind.
No.
I do, you know.
No, that sounds absolutely horrible.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, even drinking now, I'm like, you know, I have a drink or two. I don't want to be drunk because then you have to wait it out, you know? Like I'm just done with all that. But no, I think it's legit. I think it's just like dreams.
I think it is a way.
I think you have, you know, like the Aboriginal people said, sometimes you have big dreams and sometimes you have little dreams, and you know, the little dreams are I forgot to pay the gas bill, you know. And the big dreams are these things that have a lot of meaning and power and so forth and symbolism. And I think probably it's the same thing with psychedelics. I think there's probably, you know, little experiences and then big experiences. But I wouldn't recommend anybody going to it lightly at all. I mean, I think it's...
No, not at all.
They could be incredibly useful, I guess.
You have like a shock to your system.
Exactly. And then, I think if you go into it, like I had some of these people... same group of guys actually were using salvia and trying to use it as a party drug. I was like, you guys are insane. You're not going to have a fun time. You're going to come out the other side and hate this stuff. And they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to do a show at some point, one psychedelics and the other, and have some people talk stuff. But I do. I think it's part of that.
I think
McKenna, when he was talking about meeting those entities and so forth,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I think they were every bit as real or unreal as the ones that were quote unquote abducting me. There's something to it. And it's
there
it's,
is
it's tied in with
something
this.
To it. Yeah.
I don't know if you ever heard Paul Stamets talk. He's like the mushroom guy. He's like serious, like, you know, mushroom scientist stuff. He's an incredible thinker.
Oh yeah. Yep.
It's his idea that this, you know, this is some way, like the psychedelic experience is like their way, them being the mushrooms, whatever energy that, you know, they have, whatever consciousness they have, that's their way to communicate with us. And this is a guy who's also like coming up with ways, you know, to clean soil with mushrooms that is pretty much horribly polluted by, you know, industrial waste.
Why
and
is
stuff.
He having these? Why is he having these, you know, like awesome like visions of like helping the planet? You know, after he's like been taking mushrooms, you know, like there is this connection.
Yeah,
and you know, one of the most like profound experiences I had, you know, like I'm like walking, and you know, like I'm just. The trees just are just like, they're just breathing and you could see them breathe, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, that's really happening. Like, I think that's like, I think what happens is you get to have a glance of the unseen world is what I like to call it, you know,
mm-hmm.
like what's really happening. Like, you know, like, yes, these things are alive. You know, you have all these like trees now that they're like finding out that can communicate through their roots. These things are alive, you know, and they're like breathing, and it's just amazing stuff.
Yeah, it really is. Well, Matt, thank you so much for sharing your stories.
Thank you. You know, I just want to tell you, thank you so much. You know, this is a great outlet for like people, and I think you're doing a really great job, and I really enjoy your show.
Oh, thanks. And wow, I mean, the whole thing with the shooting, you were 16, you said.
Yeah, I was 16 years old.
Wow.
That happened.
Man.
And I was like messed up for a couple of years, like trying to just figure out how to get back into reality, you know, and also without taking any, you know, like medication also. Like I did it all on my own, through my own mind. You know, and that's just a test of how powerful our mind really is. Like we can really solve issues within ourselves, you know.
Yeah, and that's not to say people who do need, you know, professional help or, you know, have done anything wrong.
Absolutely.
Are lesser in the mind. But yeah, no, I absolutely think you're right. When you got rid of the Necronomicon, did that seem to help?
Instantly. When I got rid of that book, it was almost like a cloud lifted, but I was still left with this like residue, you know? I was still just left with just this lingering residue, but it was not as heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Gradually, I got rid of that also. But instantly things just stopped. Just a very bizarre experience. And, you know, like, I'm not saying that I just want to make this clear. Like, I don't believe that the book was the cause. I believe whatever these things are, they attach to certain things and will work through them. Just to almost confuse you. It's like this stuff wants to confuse you to the max. Because when you look at one thing, there's like something completely different on the other spectrum of it. And it makes no sense.
Yeah.
But I think that's the whole game of this whole thing. Like, I honestly think that this is a freaking game, man.
Yeah.
You know?
The problem is it's 4D chess and the chessboard's a fractal that's ever changing. And we only get to peek through a keyhole, you know, and the
absolutely. That's a great analogy.
Yeah, and the opponent has all queens.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
They can move in every which other direction. And,
exactly.
And just take us out whenever they want.
Yeah. It's neat, though, that you kind of created a little ritual for yourself. I mean, you know, consciously or not, that you basically, you know, you drowned the book, essentially.
And, absolutely.
And that was the beginning, I guess, of starting to feel better, or part of the process anyway.
Absolutely. I feel that ritual is very important, and I feel that, you know, like, we have lost that. And I feel, you know, like, I honestly do. I think that if you're a good person with good intentions and you have a ritual, you know, I think it's a good thing, man, you know, and we lost the old ways.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, it's kind of sad, you know, like, it was, I almost like to think that Christianity was here, was like, you know, it's made up to get rid of this stuff almost. People forgot about this. They forgot about these little elves or whatever you want to call them, brownies or these like changelings or whatever. Whatever it is, you know, like Bigfoot.
I feel
Christianity like kind of was like, okay, we have to do something about this because it's getting out of control. So let's just like, I don't know.
I think it's more the materialist end of Christianity, because I don't think it started off that way at all. I mean, I think essentially, and I would remove Christianity from it so as not to offend people and just say the West in general, like Western culture.
Sure. Well, everybody gets offended now.
But no, I do believe, I think it's our attitude in the West, which however much, you know, you can make an argument that it's been very much informed by Christianity.
Yeah.
But whatever the case, it seems like, to me, it almost has more to do with materialist stuff, which has its root in the later era of the church, I think. I don't think it started out necessarily with that in mind, with that as its goal. And then I think later on, we're just discouraged, I think, from a young age to be interested in this kind of stuff. From, you know, I remember, you know, my parents, my teachers, and so forth, just kind of not telling me not to do it, but very much kind of discouraging me. Why are you interested in all this stuff? It's not real. You know, why do you care?
No, absolutely.
And me just being like, well, I don't know. I'm just, you know, I'm drawn to it for whatever reason. But
absolutely. When I was a kid, you know, like all I did was, when I was in school, I drew monsters constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Just monsters. And, you know, like the teacher grabs this, you know, like I like made this crazy guy with this like chainsaw hand, like, you know, like chopping off some guy's head like that. You know, like I was just like, you know, like drawing monsters and like that. And I remember this because the teacher calls my mom. My mom is just flipping out. And she's like, why do you like this kind of stuff? And it's just, I don't know. I'm just intrigued by the weirdness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
I
think there are certain, you know, certain of us who are drawn to this for whatever reason. It's, you know.
Absolutely. And it's really nice to actually talk to somebody else that's into it, man. So I just want to say thank you again, bro.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and once again, thanks for sharing your story. And let us know if anything else happens. We're always here waiting for more weird stories. All right, Matt, thank you.
Thank you again.
I do think that's an interesting side effect to maybe the internet, is that a lot of things that people thought were singular experiences are more common.
Yeah.
Even tiny things that seem like they wouldn't pertain necessarily. Or
yes. I never heard people talk about the way Bigfoot moves until the internet, you know, and all the Bigfoot stuff I read. At least they didn't put an emphasis on it. The people that see it talk about, you know, how smoothly it moves and how it moves like a spider, I think is the way some people describe it. I think Matt said the one he saw crawling looked like a snake in the way it moved. It didn't look right. However they move just doesn't, it's just very odd.
Not and that's the kind of with mammalian behavior necessarily, more like,
yeah, something off, something off about it. I think Wes's brother Woody said that it's the movement when they saw the in their encounter. He said it's the way they moved that convinced him that these things weren't natural. They're some kind of paranormal or alien thing.
Hmm.
Because they just move so weird. And that's the kind of stuff that I don't ever remember hearing about, you know, before the internet, before people could really share this stuff. So, yeah, that is kind of neat, that this stuff.
Yeah, when I think about what I thought about Bigfoot when I was younger, what I thought about Bigfoot, like, say, in the 90s, and what I think about Bigfoot now, it's like, definitely an evolving concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Well, I think the wild man evolves. The wild man changes with time. And
so do the little green men.
Yeah, exactly. But that's another story. So thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back next week with another episode of Strange Familiars. If you're
in or near Rhode Island and you want to stop by and see me and Josh, we will be at that X-Files convention in Warwick, and we'll both have tables there. We sign in books and sell in books, and I will have art prints and Stone Breath CDs and all kinds of stuff. I have a pretty full table when I'm up there. So it's a great place to meet me and Josh and talk, and I will have a recorder there as well. If anybody wants to come and tell their experience for the show, I will have a recorder on hand, as I try to do whenever I do paranormal conventions. Strange Familiars is a production of
DarkHollerArts.com.
Music, books, art, podcasts, and more. Dark Holler Arts is at DarkHollerArts.com. Intro and background music is by
Stone Breath,
which is available at Stone Breath.
Bandcamp. I thought this was a quiz.
You jumped the gun. Stonebreath.bandcamp.com. And Strange Familiars is also on Facebook. Facebook.com/Strange Familiars. And Howson is not on Facebook, but the quiz is, what do we have there? The Strange Familiars
Gathering.
Yes, the Strange Familiars Gathering group is also on Facebook. And you can join the gathering and talk about the show, share experiences, and little book club they started there, which is, it's getting off to a slow start, but I think it's picking up steam, and all kinds of neat stuff at the Strange Familiars Gathering. So if you're on Facebook, that's where we are. Instagram is at Strange Familiars if you're on Instagram, and all of our other stuff is at strangefamiliars.com.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.